Welcome, kinky friends. I'm Sky.
And I'm Sunny. And this is the Aftercare Podcast,
where we normalize the conversations around kink and sex and all things in between. And today's a super exciting episode because it's episode one.
Episode one.
So super exciting. A little nervous, but excited for this journey and yet another platform that we are growing on and learning together as a couple. On today's episode, we are going to talk about who we are, how we got here, our own personal sexual journey before meeting each other, why a podcast all of a sudden, and obviously just talk about what we've been up to, what we're planning with this, and just hang out.
Yeah.
So if you'd like, I will let you explain who we are. Who is Sunny and Sky, Sunny?
So Sunny and Sky, we are an ethically non-monogamous couple. We're married. And really, we are professional, amateur, full-time content creators in the adult space specifically. We do a lot of like silly comedy stuff on safe work platforms, but yeah, we share our sex to the world. And that is our job.
It is our job. It started as a hobby and it slowly grew into a passion project for both of us. And we started to see, I think, the normalization that this world needs around kink and removing shame and just being kinky friends. When people ask who we are, we're not porn stars. We are content creators professionally. That's what we have to call ourselves because we make content, but we're your kinky friends. We're your cheerleaders. We're here to validate you. We're here to make you feel good. We're here to support you. We're here to hear about your day if you have nobody. Like we're truly in your corner as people, as sex advocates, as sex positive people, and we are learning right alongside you. So,
yeah. And I think this rolls right into our next topic of our sexual history. And really it's part of how we got here too, but it's, you know, we were not kinky people in our previous relationships or previous lives. We both came from somewhat like sexually repressed histories. Like I was always curious. I always like felt like I was a little hypersexualized. I mean, I wasn't sure. I thought I was a sex addict for a little bit just because of how interested and curious I was around sex, you know, from like the first time I found one of my dad's Playboys when I was a kid. You know, I was just always interested in sex and sexual topics. And I had partners that were somewhat willing, but, you know, never was really able to dive into the kink world and never really felt super comfortable like exploring some of the things like pegging, which has become a staple of our relationship. So yeah, my sexual history kind of, I wouldn't say it was like super repressed. Like, you know, I didn't grow up incredibly repressed in my relationships. I do think I had some opportunity to explore certain things, but it really, I would say, blossomed once we got together. And through sharing, it really has helped us realize that like all of these things that we have done together and how like inspirational and how normalizing it can be for other people. They're like, I want to do that. And you guys are like, Mila, you're doing it. That's cool. Like maybe I can do it too. And so that's been a really cool part of just like going through my own personal sexual journey. I don't know if you want to talk about yours.
You do. Mine has a lot of trauma in it. But I also remember reading my grandpa's Playboy and coming across it and actually reading it. Like it's full of great stories if you've ever read a Playboy. And it's also just a very beautiful interpretation of women. I grew up in a very small town in Wyoming. No sex education whatsoever. I got my period very young. I didn't know what was happening to my body. And I was a very hypersexual person as well, without a support system or a group or any education behind it. And I remember when I told my mom that I'd lost my virginity at 14, and she started crying and screaming at me like I had just did the worst thing in the entire world. And that taught me from a really young age that I didn't have a safe space to talk to people. And I know that she didn't mean anything bad by it. I also know her history with sex as well. And from there, I just felt a lot of shame around my body, a lot of shame around my desires, a lot of shame around my curiosity with women. I always knew that I thought girls were cute, but I was always told that was a phase and something that we don't do in Wyoming. But I was very much slut-shamed in high school. I was the girl that would send pictures of my boobs, and then the next day the entire high school would have that. And so I learned to also not be able to trust people, and that consent was incredibly important. So there's a lot of power in what I do now with the fact that I now put pictures of myself out on the internet, and there's a lot of power behind being able to own that from a lot of past experiences. I was not a kinky person. I always knew that I liked kinky porn, but I also didn't even know what kink was. My understanding of it was from like 50 Shades of Grey, and it was just this dark, really hard dommy stuff, and that was attractive to me, but I didn't even know how to approach it. It seemed incredibly unapproachable and very closed off if you weren't already in the kink community, but there was no secret to get into the kink community kind of thing. And I then almost married somebody who would shame me for masturbating. I remember coming home one day and all of my sex toys were on the bed and they were broken because I was cheating on him by watching porn and pleasuring myself. So once again, taught shame around my body, shame around my curiosities. I would hide in a dark closet to masturbate, which is heartbreaking and crazy to think about. And when I got out of this relationship that was abusive on so many different levels, not just sexually, I then advocated for myself and started leaning into those curiosities and those porn and dating kinkier guys, dating men that were polyamorous or pansexual, and just dipping my little toes into that a little bit. And then I met you. And we created a foundation around curiosity within the first week of Sunny and I became best friends before we ever dated, which I really do think is something that a lot of people are missing. It was something I never had in a relationship, was a friendship. And with that friendship, we started talking about what porn we liked very early on. I remember the first porn you ever sent me, like you were terrified to send this porn to me.
Yeah. But, yeah. That was like after this. Second time we had sex, I think, but it was like forced orgasm, like tied to the bed. The guy stayed closed the whole time, like total just pleasure dom. I am a pleasure dom too. Like that is something that like I've always loved giving pleasure. And I was like, this isn't even, I mean, it's for me, but like, do you like this? Cause it's going to be for you and for me.
And then within like 2 weeks, we did it.
Like yeah.
We recreated this. And I think that was a really incredible thing, was showing each other the porn that we would like and being really open to the interest that each other had in it without shame, just full curiosity and asking the question, okay, what about this turns you on? What do you like? Let's learn it and try it. I've never done anything like this before, but we can give it a go.
Yeah.
And it turns out we loved it.
Yeah.
So... And my favorite porn was obviously like group stuff and rough stuff and bisexual stuff, which that'll be a whole different episode.
Yes.
Our own journey with that. But,
yeah.
But it's been, it was really incredible to have a partner that was able to create a safe space with me where we really do learn and we practice new things together and we're excited to try new things together.
Yeah. 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 So I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but do you want to jump into like how we got here? Roll back the clock all the way to when we met until, and then run our way through back up to today.
Do we want to give that the full story?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
The story of Sunny and Scott. You on July 8th of 2021 at dinner. I was dating Sunny's best friend at the time.
Yep. I had just come from my final therapy session with my ex that I was with for 7 years, and then we off and on for a year, and then did like 6 months of therapy. And I met Sky the day of the last session, like literally an hour after we finally closed that book.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know who, I had heard who Sunny was. I didn't know who he was. When I met him, he was kind of sad boy, obviously going through a lot of stuff. I was just his friend's girlfriend. There was not much conversation to be had. We had just met each other at this point. And then we had started, he started hanging out with obviously his best friend more. I was around more. And Sunny and I had a lot of similar interests.
Yeah.
We had a lot of similar conversations. The way we thought about the world was the same. It was really easy to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I remember talking on the phone with you for hours. And there was nothing romantic. Like it was truly a platonic friendship. We would go climbing together.
That was a big thing.
It was a huge thing. Yeah. I'm pretty scared of falling, and we were sport climbing, and he's the first person I ever actually took a whip with. Yeah. But he didn't know that either. Like I didn't want to indulge that. He's just yapping the whole time in this video.
Just hanging out.
Just talking, and I'm just shaking and terrified, and I finally fall, and he's still just talking, like he doesn't know how big of a deal this was for me until I don't know, probably a month later when I finally told him that that was a really, really big moment of our friendship, of me being able to trust him with what I thought was my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was, the fall was probably the, that specific moment I think was in like late August, something like that. Yeah.
And we would go climbing, and after climbing, we would go, like, we had a, like a routine or a ritual almost. Like we would go climbing, and then we would go hang out in Boulder Creek and barefoot and just cool down. And then we would go to the Dark Horse and get some food. Do you want to fix that?
Yeah. I'll go fix that. Lighting. Thank you, Aspen. Yeah, it's good. Oh yeah, by the way, this thing on the ottoman here. It's
chicken nugget.
This is Maya. She's going to maybe become a fixture. She might run off and bark at something. But yeah, I guess acknowledging the animal that's on the ottoman right there.
She's alive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's in cat mode apparently.
Yeah.
But this is Maya. But yeah, so that day was probably in August, September. We also hung out as a group. Yeah, just totally platonic friends. Like, I was dating. I was going on Bumble dates.
It was helping him date. Like, yeah. I was his wingman. I had set him up with my roommate. Like, I would ask him how his dates went. I would wish him luck on his dates. Like, we truly were best friends.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely had an interest in his happiness and his relationships and was just happy to hang out with him when I could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you were off limits in my mind.
And you were the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that changed.
Yeah. And then we went to a concert at Red Rocks and everything changed.
Yeah.
I became safe space daddy.
So I'll be fully transparent. Yeah. We were at a Deadmau5 show and we had been hanging out in the parking lot and he looked absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if you can imagine Sonny with long hair.
I can put up a picture. I can do a picture in picture.
Only a mustache. Yeah. This dude's wearing like sneakers with velvet leggings and a fur coat and this hat. Like, he's just dripping in sex.
It was hot.
He looked absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I also just loved how he would just hang out and be himself. And I don't know, he was easy to be with, which is really new for me in my life with all my history of abuse and trauma. I felt safe with this person. And the guy that I was dating, his best friend, ended up giving me 2 points of Molly, which way too much in my books. Like, I am very, very sensitive to stimulants. And I started feeling it. And we were very close to the sound check. Like, we were right up front. We were packed in. I'm an introvert. I have space issues. Sometimes I don't love people, like strangers right up pushing against me. And his friend was having the time of his life. And I was some of the most scared I'd ever been. Like, I was on the verge of a panic attack. And so we just were not on the same page. And looking back, like, I'm sorry. Like, that's all I can say. But we were not on the same page and I was feeling really unsafe. I was not having fun. I wanted to get out of there. And I also felt really unseen by this person who just kept giving me drugs and not acknowledging what it was doing to me and not in a good time. And I turned around and I looked at this dude in this fur coat and this hat and this long hair. I just looked at him and he just like waved at me. And then he motioned for me to come back. And at that point, I told his friend I was going to go back and just hang out. We were in a big group, so I wasn't leaving him. But I went and sat next to you, and I remember just holding onto your leg for, like, dear life at Red Rocks. You're standing. I'm holding onto your leg. And I immediately felt safe. Like, I was seen. I was protected. You were, like, whispering meditations in my ears to calm me down.
I was still on the self-help, self-love train pretty hard. So yeah, I had a lot of stuff. I still do have a lot of stuff memorized, but this was like a big mantra. And yeah, I was just, I don't know. I just saw you and I was doing everything I could to make sure that you felt safe and you weren't just alone while everybody was like oblivious.
Yeah. It was really nice. I did feel safe and it was the nicest thing anyone had ever said to me. Like, coming out of my relationships and being in a relationship with somebody that didn't really see me for who I was and was trying to fix everything about me. Like, I felt like it's okay if I was broken because you didn't need to fix the broken parts.
No.
So, yeah, it was nice. And then that moment changed a lot for me. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew, like, immediately, like, I had loved you more than I had ever loved anybody in my entire life. And it was a different kind of, it was immediate. Like,
yeah.
It was overwhelming. And also, I think like the drugs obviously made me feel super.
They
extra
help, yeah. But I feel like, I don't know, especially with something like Molly, like it can be misinterpreted. You know, like I don't think that created love. I just think it like opened, like it kind of like broke those barriers down we both might have had around like we can't do this or we can't feel this way about each other, and it just like, I don't know, just kind of like. Open that door.
Yeah. I don't think it created the love. If it did, no. I don't think we would be here.
No, I think that would have worn off by now. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know that was a very, very hard thing. Like you had been a part of this friend group for like 8 years, and you were at a crossroads, and I wasn't going to obviously make you do anything. I was already stepping out of this relationship. This person had already cheated on me. Like this was not a good relationship for me to be in. And I was already leaving this. And I remember you came over to my house like 2 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You went on a date the day before.
I did. Yeah.
On a date the day before. Cause you were still like, I don't know. I can't do this, man. Like this is a lot. Like it was a big thing. You came over to my house 2 days after. I was taking a bubble bath. I ordered Modern Market and you showed up at the house. I gave you my food.
Yeah, I ate some of your food. Yeah. No, I remember when you were texting me and I was driving over and you were like, I'm really nervous or anxious. And I just remember like anxiety is something that I am very familiar with. And I always try to remind myself, and I shared this with you because it's something I had learned through my own personal work, is that anxiety is a form of excitement. It is a fear-based excitement, but it still is an excitement. And that's one thing I wanted to like bring into that, is that there was some excitement around this, but it doesn't have to be bad. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be scary. Like we should talk about what happened and what had been happening without us, you know, acknowledging it before. So yeah, I went over to your house and we talked and we hung out for way, way longer than I thought. Yeah, no, you like had some errands to do. I was like, I'll come with. Like, yeah.
There was so much electricity in that car. Like,
yeah.
It was like palpable little sparks. Because we weren't also, I wasn't going to do anything yet. Like we were going really slow with it. And I remember asking you, I was like, what do you want to do? Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. I said, I don't know, but I'll follow you anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, we kind of stuck around a little bit for a little bit.
We had to. It wasn't great. I would never have met you any other way.
No, but we did come clean shortly after.
Yeah. Big explosion.
Big fallout, which was okay. I mean, I didn't want anything else. Yeah. I was willing to give up everything.
Felt awful. Like this was his community for 8 years, and it's taken us 2 years to rebuild a community. It has been it's a hard thing to do. If anybody knows, like community building and friendship is hard when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But once we were together, and I mean, we started spending every day with each other. We, one of my favorite questions you ever asked me was, what do you think about marriage? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really care for it all that much. Like, I just want to be with somebody and I don't need, you know, paper ceremony, all of that.
Well, and we were both engaged. Like,
we had both been engaged.
Toxic engagements. Like neither of us wanted to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were like, I feel the same way. And I was like, cool, let's get married then. So like, I would say within, I don't even know, like it was weeks of actually being together. Like when we were like, okay, we are together now.
Like 4 weeks of actually being together. Like we started planning a wedding and it was like, I don't know if any of you have a breeding kink, but like the idea of breeding somebody turns somebody on so much. That's how marriage was for us. It was just like, we couldn't get enough of the idea of spending the rest of our lives together.
Yeah. 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 And then of course, all while that, like we, you know, were deciding to get married extremely quickly, started having just incredible sex, like the best sex we had both had in our entire lives, like explored things so quickly, talked about things so quickly. Like I think the second time we had sex, you were like, how do you feel about anal? And I was like, I misinterpreted it as you were asking me. I was like, finally somebody's gonna play with my butt. Oh man, I've wanted to do pegging for so long. And then you were like, I was like, oh, you want me to, oh, yeah, it's cool. Like, I'll do that too. And just like, we opened that door so quickly and just like started really like diving into our fantasies and just that, I don't know, that was something that I know I never had and you never had either. It was just that unashamed, non-judgmental, like just, you know,
let's
tell me,
do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's try it. Or I mean, if it's not me that'll try it, we'll get someone to try it with you or whatever it is. But like, we are completely invested in each other's like curiosity, pleasure, whatever that looks like. And that was like immediate. Like once we were decided to be together and we were intimate, yeah, we just like, our sex life was unmatched.
We asked each other what toys we had. We brought them into play. Like, he taught me how to use them on him. I showed him how to use them on me.
Yeah.
We had a threesome the same day we got engaged.
Yep.
Like, we started exploring group play pretty early on. Like, we knew what we wanted with it. We talked about boundaries. We talked, and our boundaries changed pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think our only boundary that we have with group play is that we don't sleep in the same bed, because it's impossible.
Oh yeah.
Like, we've tried, man. And we just tried last week.
Keep trying.
Because you want to say no to these cute girls. They want to cuddle. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. But I also don't mind like sleeping alone on the couch. Like, I'm happy with you. And that's the thing, is I'm happy if he wants to sleep there. We just cannot sleep three in a bed.
No. And that I guess that is something too, with that, like, opening, blowing those doors off, like, you know, when we talked about being together and, you know, getting married or whatever, we also talked about not wanting to like limit each other's experiences with other people. And that was a huge thing. Like, we knew we were non-monogamous immediately. Like, that is something that was also day one.
I used to think something was wrong with me, because I always had thoughts of like being with other people when I was in these relationships, and like, I was always broken, but it's just human nature. Like, we have attraction, we have these desires. Like, it's fun to flirt. It's fun to be attracted to people. And it's really cool to have a partner to be like, she's super cute. And he's like, yeah. Or he's super cute. And he's like, yeah. Like, you don't even need to act on it. But sometimes the idea of just the fantasy behind it is really nice, rather than just being attacked and shamed for having these thoughts.
Yeah.
And then you don't have a safe space to have any thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really cool. It's really cool. And then, so I think like, I don't know, that was probably like December to like, let's say March, something like that. And then I don't know exactly, like, people ask us all the time, like, when did you decide to start OnlyFans? And I have no clue. Like,
no idea.
I don't remember.
Our relationship is just like this muddled mess of love.
Yeah. I mean, we got married in the summer of 2022, and we got approved on Fansly a few weeks before that. So we had started, we had obviously talked about it. So I think like April or May.
Yeah, I think we got started on Fansly in May, and then finally got approved for OnlyFans, because it took forever to get verified.
Yeah.
The day before our wedding, or day before our elopement.
Yeah. And, but like, when we decided to do it, I think we were just like talking, you know, about sex, you know, when we were still exploring all these things. And one of the things that came up was like, have you ever recorded your sex? And I had never had the opportunity to do that, or very limited opportunity.
I didn't trust anybody enough to do something like
that. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no
emotional blackmail is a scary thing. So.
Yeah. It's a very common thing. Yeah. There are revenge porn laws for a reason, unfortunately. But that was something we talked about. And then I had also seen someone that had done OnlyFans, and she had mentioned that, like, she, you know, made a couple $1,000s. And I was like, that sounds cool. Like, we have great sex.
When you're all about passive income.
Yeah.
about passive income.
Yeah, a little here and there, here and there, here and there. So I was like, that'd be cool. Like, travel money, whatever. Like, we have kinky sex. I've never recorded it. It'd be fun to, you know, have our little porn stash when we're
asexual 90-year-olds.
Yeah, like hours. Now we have like YouTube's worth, but and I think so. That's how we decided to do it.
And then we just put up a camera. Neither of us had any experience
in
actually doing this. Our first two sex tapes are awful. Like, they are. There's something we look back on, but I had like this cheetah bedding with this green velvet comforter and this orange. Like, it was a Cleopatra goddess bed, but it was so ugly on camera. It looked awful. But we started, and you got to start somewhere. And we learned how to market. He has a little bit of background in marketing. That's what he did before this. And I had no experience in even taking a picture of myself, but we learned.
And we just, it was actually crazy timing too, because I think the week after we got back from our elopement and we had, you know, actually started doing OnlyFans, I was laid off. So I like immediately this was now something that, you know, would help supplement our income. I think it ended up taking me like 11 weeks to get another job. And luckily for us, like we did make enough to like bridge that gap.
With me still working full time.
Yeah. You were still working full time. Yeah. I didn't end up getting unemployment until like right after I like got a new job, which was weird.
COVID was weird.
But yeah, we started, you know, marketing on Reddit and, you know, our income grew and it was able to fill that gap until I got another job. I think that was like, what, September of 22? And then we just kind of kept doing it on the side. You know, it just kind of kept growing. We had our first collab in October with another couple.
It was also our first foursome ever.
Yeah, first foursome.
Like, that was a super wild experience. We learned a lot from that experience.
Yeah, we'll talk about it sometime.
Yeah.
In depth.
Yeah, we learned a lot about that. But that's the really cool, like, a lot of our firsts are also recorded and on camera. So not only do we have that, but we can share that with other people who are also trying to explore these things for the first time.
Yeah.
But we started on Reddit. I had no experience with Reddit at all. I never used Reddit. He used Reddit for porn in the past, but never as a creator.
Reddit was my porn, my private porn stash. And when I finally got on the other side of it, I was like, oh, this is how you like actually gain traction on Reddit. So yeah, that was our primary promotion channel pretty much up until,
I would say, March of the following year.
Yeah, March of 23. So
after I quit my job.
Yeah, but that whole time, we were both working full time. We were filming when we could, mostly doing just Reddit, and OnlyFans just kept going. It just kept growing and growing, and I would say, when was it? It was about February of
23.
We were both unhappy in our industries and in our specific companies for a while. And we hit that point in February where you were like, I'm going to jump. I'm going
to
do it.
It didn't make sense for me to stay at my job anymore. Like, it's terrifying. It was absolutely the scariest thing professionally that I've ever done, was to make this leap. But I mean, working full time, I was barely making any money each month, and I was exhausted, and I was still also trying to full time content create. And we finally had a month that I made more in a week.
I think it was more, we made more in one day than your 2 week paycheck was.
And that's when I was like, we have to figure out what this is. And it might not last forever, but I need to focus on this. Yeah.
Well, and you were also capped out.
It was like, capped. And I also was not getting the bonuses I was supposed to be getting. Like, just corporate hoops, man.
Yep. So you jumped in February of 23. And then I was just like, I had it too good. Like, I think I'm safe saying it now, but I was working a full-time job and I had a full-time contract. So I was like double dipping and just making an obscene amount of money a month, plus healthcare was what,
sitting around fucking off for a little bit.
Sitting around fucking off. Like, holy shit. It was great. Yeah. But it was also boring. Like, that's the thing. And I'm sure a lot of people that have worked from home, I worked from home for 7 years. Like, I had been in the shit way before COVID happened. And when you're in a certain organizations that you can just kind of hide in, sure, it's great. You're making money for doing little, but you're also, one, waiting to get fired. You're like, somebody's got to know. And two, you're just like, I'm not really doing anything. And it doesn't matter how much you pay me. Like, I have to be near this computer all day. Like, I am still stuck with you. So yeah, I continued to do that until mid-April because, our income just continued to grow, especially as you were able to focus on...
Oh, man, I was like making TikToks in the kitchen of this super small apartment, just trying to figure out how to TikTok. I avoided this app my entire life, and now here I am dancing in the kitchen, and the neighbors can see.
And it worked.
Oh, and it worked.
It worked.
It was ridiculous. I remember wearing like a superhero cape with your wrestling singlet and whipping around a dildo. It was Captain Peggy.
But yeah, once you were able to focus on it, it made a difference. And I was still not available. Also, you had a lot more free time too. You were like, hey, let's go have fun. And I'm like, computer,
I know, people. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna go, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it hit the point. It did hit that point in early April where I was like, it's not even worth it. And if I can help too, we can just keep this going we can live a way more fun and free life. And yeah, it's scary as hell, but
I remember sitting on the couch with you and you say you were never going to do it.
Couldn't.
Yeah. You're like,
couldn't do it.
I will never make the move to create content full time.
No, it's too scary, too unpredictable.
Yeah. I remember you saying never. And then within months you were like, all right.
Yeah. I think
give it a go.
I think it was literally like, it's been over a year now. So 2 weeks ago, I think, was like a year of me quitting my full-time job. And I was in...
Congratulations.
And I was in corporate America for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a big, big shift. But yeah, and then after that, it was just off to the races, like Sunny and Sky, figuring out how to make a business out of this.
Make a business. Like neither of us knew that. We had to start everything. Like we didn't know what an LLC was or an S corp or a C corp or how to do our taxes like this. Or exempt. Like we knew none of this stuff.
Yeah.
I worked in healthcare for 12 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we started to like really build this community. Like we were able to focus on not just doing the things that like one brought us revenue and enabled, you know, a certain lifestyle, but like we really were able to hone in on like what this was to us. Like we always had the foundation of it, but we were able to really like, you know, we got like logos. We worked on messaging. Like we really were able to own this and to let people be a part of that. You know, like our fans and our friends online guide a lot of what we do. Like, you know,
it's very collaborative.
Yeah.
And we don't like, that is a thing. Like you'll hear fans and subscribers and stuff when it like refers to OnlyFans, but we call everybody friends. Like we're your kinky friends. You're our kinky friends. Like we wouldn't be here without you guys. We also wouldn't have a podcast without you guys. Like this was so requested from our friends online that we finally made the step.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It turned into obviously a hobby, but I'm the type of person that I needed it to be something that I was passionate about. It was something that I needed to learn and something I needed to grow in. And as somebody who worked as an ICU animal nurse for 12 years, literally bringing animals back from the dead, like I needed to take care of people in a different way. It's selfishly something that I need. The little helper in me needs to feel like she has a purpose at times and can also help people in any way she can, whether that's healthy or not. We're working on that with therapy. But I just saw this hole of this need of this conversation of bringing these topics up into the public eye, not to normalize kinksters. We don't want things normalized, but we want the conversation around it to be destigmatized.
Yeah.
We want a little less shame when it comes to things, maybe not even labeling things at times when they don't feel appropriate, but just starting the conversation and having self-awareness around it and just being a safe space for anybody and everybody. We've had friends on our OnlyFans now that we talk to every single day. Mm-hmm. I could tell you so much about these people. They send me pictures of their meals. They tell me about their lives. Like I get to hear about their traumas. People will come in and send me a book long message basically that they've never been able to tell anybody else. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to be that space for people. And how honored I am and how truly cherished I feel with that gift and like the responsibility I put on myself to also give care to those people and to make sure that I'm being the best resource I can or find them the best resource.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. No, it's really cool because we do share so much about ourselves and even more so with this. Like this is something that people have asked for. Like anytime we've gone live, you know, they're like, we just like hearing you hang out and talk and
it was cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. So yeah.
Like to talk to.
Yeah. But we do share so much that people come in and they know us and they want us to know them. You know, they see us literally, you know, naked.
You like see my butthole's all over. Like if that's not an icebreaker, I don't know what is.
Yeah. So they feel so comfortable coming in and just saying, you know, I've seen you be as vulnerable as you possibly could be in every single way, whether it's silly TikToks or serious educational talks or, you know, intimate porn. They see it all, and they're it kind of opens them up as well. And that's really, really cool. So yeah, we are just hoping that this podcast does that even more, you know, does just show more of us. Like, yeah, we do different content types, and this is just another type to help you see Sunny and Sky and just who we are and what we're about. Yeah. So yeah, I think, and the reason we're calling it aftercare is that is like part of our foundation. Like aftercare is something I honestly didn't even really know I was doing it all.
Do you want to explain what aftercare is? Most people don't even know what aftercare is.
Yeah. So aftercare is the time after intimacy. Usually it is the time after you're kind of all done, whether that's an orgasm or not. You know, sex doesn't have to be goal oriented. It's more just like, okay, we're done doing the things. And, but you don't want to get up. Like aftercare is the time where you still be with each other in that space. You share that intimate space and you take care of each other in whatever way you need, whether that's cuddling, whether that's words of affirmation, whether that's food, water, whether that's a blanket, whether that's touch, or whether that is some separate time as well. You know, that is a form of aftercare, but it's all around giving each other what that person needs after you've had your form of intimacy, especially after times of intense intimacy, that especially when you have more intense scenes like impact or power play or just different dynamics that you can't leave a vacuum after something like that. So that, at least I think, is my understanding of aftercare. I don't know if you want to add anything.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
And everybody defines aftercare differently, and I think that can be broken down in your negotiation. Mm-hmm. But it is important to ask your partner, what do you need right now? What can mm-hmm. I give you? And just not break that energy yet. We're so used to getting up and throwing somebody a towel or getting up and going pee so we don't get a UTI. And I'm not saying lay there so you get a urinary tract infection. I'm just saying maybe sit for 5 minutes and just thank each other and hold each other and kiss each other. And we even debrief. We talk about what we liked, sometimes what we didn't like, if it was like a weird new position that we tried, we high five each other. Like there's a lot of encouragement and love that goes into it that I think is missed. And I've never had aftercare before, Sunny.
Yeah. And we check in. That's one thing, is like, obviously if things happen in the moment, you know, we stop and we're like, okay, is everything okay? Okay, go back. But then that is also another time, especially for me, to recheck in and say, hey, like I still do remember this. I didn't breeze past it, just to continue. Like I want to talk about that thing specifically and make sure that it's addressed fully and we can know what to do with it, not to do with it, things like that. So I think it's a good time to, like, you know, kind of recount. You know, we like to, our debriefing, you know, almost watching the play tapes. Obviously we have play tapes now, but if you're not recording, you know, there are still things that if you bring up while you remember it, it can be really helpful for your next times. So yeah, like you said, and like I mentioned too, I didn't realize I was doing aftercare for so long. It's not something I looked at. It's not something I paid attention to. It was just something I did. It was just, it was, you know, I was always like getting someone like a warm towel or honestly, my thing is to like not move. Like when we're done, I stay
inside.
Yeah. I stay inside. I've had two women actually be like, what is this? This is wonderful. What are you doing right now? Do you see what he's doing? I like it.
Like last week.
Yeah. Maybe. And it's just something, I'm like, I'm not ready to, I'm not done. Like I'm done, but like, I'm not, we're not fully done yet. Yeah. Like we are still,
we're both in a heightened state.
Yeah. Like
down together.
Yeah. I need to catch my breath too. Like,
no, but in their group play, that's something that we also really do try to incorporate all the time, every time. We've had a couple of group experiences when they're done, they just like walk away and they're done. And it's like, No, come back here. Like, this isn't how we play. And it's okay if that's how you play, but let's just talk about it for a second before you just walk away. And aftercare is a really great way to like talk about things before they ever become triggers or trauma. Like if you have a really intense bondage scene or impact scene and you don't know if that was okay, like that's a time, like Sunny said, to check in mm-hmm. and be like, was that okay? How hard I hit you, where I hit you. Like that is where you can learn as a dom. That is where you can learn as a sub and understand the power that you both have in that dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. So because it is such a foundational part of us, we decided to name our podcast Aftercare. And we're not always going to do our podcast like after we have sex or anything. Yeah, we didn't have sex, but it would be fun. It'd be fun to like start a podcast and then cut it and then come back all disheveled and finish it up.
So
maybe. But yeah, no, we just thought that Aftercare was a really fitting name, not only with who we are, but just what we preach around communication, around sex.
Yeah, and for these intimate conversations.
Yeah.
So, all right, we have about 12 minutes. You want to talk about what we've been, where did we just go?
So yeah, a part of this podcast, and it'll probably be, I think at the beginning, the format's going to change. We don't know what we're doing, but I think a great way to start the podcast, we're going to wrap it up this way because you need to know all of what we just told you, apparently. You're still there. But we don't know how often we're going to record this. We would like to do every 2 weeks, but we have no idea. But we always just want to catch you up with what we've been up to, you know, what we've got going on, and just kind of, yeah, get you up to speed and what we've done, where we're going since we last chatted. So we're going to do that now. And we just got back from Costa Rica last Saturday. So like 5 days ago, 6 days ago. What is time? And we went on our first like creator house trip. It was the first experience we've had where we got graciously invited by the Naked Bakers to go to Costa Rica and join a bunch of people from their community and just explore a really rad place. Like Costa Rica is some place I've always heard about, and we love the tropics.
We do.
Yeah.
We really do want to live on a beach.
We like beach.
But not Florida.
Or Texas. sorry. But so we were just in Costa Rica for 5 days. It was amazing, amazing people. What a, like a, just a wonderful group of people, very chill, like just riding four-wheelers around the jungle and seeing the most amazing sunsets I've ever seen. And I grew up in Florida. Mm-hmm. Like it was just such an incredible place with wonderful people. So we were there for 5 days.
Yeah, I got to ride four-wheelers naked.
The yeah.
Little, like Wyoming redneck girl in me was so psyched on the beach, like just...
Yeah.
Doing cookies on the beach.
Yeah, just playing the waves. Yeah. And yeah, we took some super beautiful pictures. That is something that I'm really enjoying with the cameras that we have now. And yeah, we just spent a lot of time just, I don't know, just doing whatever we wanted.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
We like to hang out together.
Yeah, we do. She's snoring.
She is snoring. Yeah. So we went to Costa Rica,
yep.
5 days there. And then Wednesday of next week, we are actually going to Joshua Tree for a birthday party.
Yep.
It is Ben's birthday from Piper and Ben.
Yep.
Piper Quinn. Wonderful human. I love her so much. I have a little crush on her.
Piper.
Piper. and Tabby No Name is also going to be there.
Yep.
So excited to connect with them and build a stronger friendship. I don't think we're going to collab, which I think is really cool. We're just going to hang out as friends.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to go get weird in the desert. Maybe take some pictures and fly around my new drone that's like coming.
Is it out the door?
I don't know. But yeah, again, just I don't know. It's really cool to like, we started this on our own and we have like built a community of like-minded people that, you know, do this in some capacity, sometimes not even full time, but still, you know, share our values and are just want to do fun stuff with. So
yeah, community's cool.
Yeah, community is cool. So yeah, we're doing that next week, and I think that's really it.
I hope that's it. We're tired.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to complain that we just went to Costa Rica and go to Joshua Tree, but we're ready to be home with these little chicken nuggets and hang out with you guys. So, yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's more than enough.
Yeah. Thank you guys for whoever stuck around with us.
Yeah.
Incredibly excited for this journey on where this is going to go and just these casual conversations around all the things. And eventually we'll have guests on here and always a dog of some sort.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wandering around.
Yeah. And
like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have a little merch line. They're just cute little shirts and they're going to be growing into kinky shirts and festival shirts and stuff. But sunnyandsky.com, there's a shop on there. If you ever want to wear anything and match us, we'll obviously feature you on our socials. And we appreciate any of the kindness that you can just help us spread in this world. But just thank you guys for hanging out with us. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials to keep up with all of our silly shenanigans and funny skits and educational talks. There's going to be a whole bunch of new platforms coming to you soon, so we'll also update you on that. But as always, we connect with everybody every single day on OnlyFans. So if you ever actually have a question, you want to chat, you want to share anything, like I love seeing you as much as you love seeing us. So that's a safe space for you to share if you've never had one. We always chat on Sunny and Sky as our OnlyFans. You can find that through our website as well, so sunnyandsky.com. But yeah, let us know if you have any questions. I appreciate you guys so, so much. So until next time, I hope you guys stay curious and kinky and kind.
Yeah, we'll see you later.